And he is at work. He's doing his work well. He's been at work all along. He's going to continue to be at work until the Lord comes back and puts a stop to it. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, looketh about seeking whom he may devour." Be vigilant. Be sober. We have an adversary. And believe it or not, he is real. He is a created being. God created him perfect. But he wasn't satisfied with God creating him to be the most beautiful of the angels and probably the most prominent of them and maybe even the most powerful, except for one, Michael and Gabriel, or two actually. But at any rate, he wasn't satisfied with that. He had to raise himself up and try to be God. You know what? Man isn't very different than that today. Man wants not to submit himself to God, but he wants to have his way. He wants to do his thing. He wants to think he's the most powerful being in all of creation and beyond. But listen, the powerful being that created all of this and created man originally is God. And God is not going to permit him to rise above and to have the victory. Though he brings chaos and despicable things into humanity this day and time and causes humanity to do despicable things or aids them in it anyway, doesn't mean that that's going to go on forever, because one day God's going to put a stop to it. Devil had his beginning as an angel of light. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 15 says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Beautiful, probably the highest in ranking, but he wasn't satisfied with the position that God placed him in. In the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, verse 13, the devil became evil because of pride. Isaiah 14, verse 13 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars." And that's angels, by the way. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." He's going to ascend into heaven. He's going to take over for God. Now, pride, most beautiful. No doubt, probably placed over in charge of God's creation, the beautiful creation that God created. And yet, he wasn't satisfied. Now, the devil, who is he really? He was created perfect, but then sin entered in. And no longer was he perfect, but he sunk lower almost than mankind. You know, Jesus became a little lower than the angels. He became a man. He didn't become an angel. So that shows you where man's at and the condition that he's in. But look at Satan and who he's called in the scripture. John 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." That's the religious bigots of the Jews and the Hebrews. "And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And by the way, we live in a society where there's a whole lot of liars. Whole lot of liars. Who are they? They're of their father, the devil. He's an accuser, Revelation 12, verse number 10. The Bible says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser before God. Listen, he does like he did Adam and Eve, and he tries to bring temptation and beguile people into doing the wicked and evil things that they do. Then he goes and points out to God, look at this one, look at that one. When we sin, he points to God. Look at this one. Look at that one. That's accusing before God, even though he's behind some of it. So we should not fall for the temptation that he puts before us, because he's bringing us to that so he can accuse us to God. Things that, there you go. You created them. And look at it. They created in your image and likeness. Now look at what they're doing. Look at the condition they're in. Does that sound childish? It's reality, folks. He accuses, this verse plainly states it, he accuses us before God in that manner. He's a deceiver. Look at Revelation 12 and verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The deceiver of the whole world. That takes in a lot. God, he is also the God of this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He is the God of this world. Well, who is the world? It's all these lost people out here. It was us before we got saved. Now, who's our God? Who's our God? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to submit to him, and we're to resist the devil. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, here it is. Our adversary is working on us all the time, bringing things before us, putting stumbling blocks. Well, how do we combat that? I've been told, why don't you rebuke them? Why don't you rebuke the demon spirit? Who am I to rebuke anybody? I'm not to rebuke you except with the word of God. The foolishness of man playing right into the hands of the devil. He's the God of this world. He's the reason this world is in the condition it's in today. It's his work, and he does such great work, and he is such a powerful being. You can't deny it. And if you think you can handle him on your own, you got another thing coming. How did Jesus handle him? Matthew, the 4th chapter, I believe it is. He handled him with the word of God. It is written, amen. Thou shalt not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right. How do we resist him? With the scripture, with the word of God, with the truth. Yeah. He's the liar and father of it. and his followers and those that are out in the world, the unsaved, brother, are of their father, the devil, who is a liar. They are liars as well. Look at what's going on in our world today. What's going on in our nation today? Lie after lie after lie, defending the most reprobate and ungodliness situations that there is, upholding and bringing them to a place of honor and a place of preeminence. Listen, Satan behind it. But he has to have volunteers in order to practice and to make it effective. And these out in the world are blinded. Why are they blinded? Lest they see the glorious gospel. Because until they see the glorious gospel, they're not going to really see right from wrong. They're not going to really see good from evil. And Satan wants to keep them that way. He's doing a good job, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed. All right. He's a prince of the power. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's what you did, you and I did before we got saved. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What? There it is. It identifies. Put it up to real life and see. And when you see what's going on, you'll understand. When you see Satan, who he is, what he is, and how he works, and where he does his work, the manner in which he does his work. Because truly he is the prince and power of the air. He is the ruler of those that are out here in this world without Christ. He is a tempter. Now, wait a minute. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Or did we read that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against mankind, one another. But we wrestle, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight is not with one another. It's really not with mankind. It's with that spiritual wickedness. Well, how do we fight it? How do we battle it? God gave us a sword, the sword of the Spirit. And we preach it and we teach it and we practice it and we admonish and we contend. We uphold the word of God. We uphold the righteousness. And when somebody comes up to you in some situation, you have an opportunity, the Bible says we're to rebuke them and their ways. But how do we do that? You know what? You're ungodly and you need to straighten your life out and get right with the Lord. What's the matter with you anyway? Are you dumb? You stupid? That's our approach. You know, the Bible says, and tell them. Right. You know what God says, and tell them. And not in an arrogant manner, not in a forceful manner. Present the word, and the Spirit will put force behind it. He is a tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Now, who's he seeking to devour? God's people. Who's he seeking to devour? Those that God has made righteous. And I don't mean sinless or perfect. I mean right with him in the inward man. Child of God. Entered into the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of darkness. into the kingdom of light. Those are who he's after. Those are who he tempts. And he's good. Man, he's making out here. Majority of the people of this nation, I hope it's not the majority, but it's close. He's got them so blinded that anything he puts out there, they believe. I don't know if you've been noticing lately, but man, this nation of ours has gotten so far away from Christ and the Word of God that any reprobate can get up and do some God-awful things and say some horrible things and say they're going to do some terrible things, and yet this society exalts them. Satan puts temptation in their way and they fall for it. 1 John 2 and 13, he's also the wicked one. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. He is a fallen angel, Ezekiel 28:16. Ezekiel 28:16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. They have sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Lucifer, devil himself. His targets? The Lord's church.
Amen.
Just got a phone call the other day. Another good, solid, sound and good-sized church in Oklahoma is no more. Is no more. And the last members have joined a big, what do they call these new big churches? Mega church. And boy, they're all excited because they come from a dead church and they're in a live one now. The only thing is they're in an organization that makes people dead.
Yeah, exactly.
How do they do it? By abiding by Satan. Good works, good character. You good outweigh the bad. Pleasing St. Peter. You better please Jesus Christ, brother. He's the judge. God's given all judgment to him. Peter has no judgment. Nor does he have any power. He's working on trying to destroy the Lord's churches by them compromising, by sending them preachers that are compromised, that are watered down the truth, seeking preeminence and personal gain. They want to corrupt her influence. Lord's New Testament church is no different than these others out here in the world, and they know what they're after. They know the kind of work they do. They want to sow disunity among the brethren. Now, we've seen the devil sow some disunity among the brethren here in this church over the years, from time to time. They fight her outreaches and evangelistic work. They destroy her doctrinal purity. Jude 3, what do we do about doctrine? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Contend for the faith. Stand for the truth of God's word. Don't let go. Don't compromise. Don't let up. You know what? You compromise just a little, and next thing you know, you're compromising a whole lot. The Lord's ministers, How does he target them? By causing them to be discouraged. No people added to the church. No people saved. Service is cold. Not altogether the church's fault. Preachers get discouraged because it's their own fault. A lot of them don't prepare themselves for the ministry. They don't take enough time or the time to do it. And they hop out there and they're going to conquer the world. And there's not a church that they couldn't build or one that they couldn't establish. And one, but they get out there and next thing you know, they don't know near as much as they thought they did. And those great, wonderful things and ideas that you got that aren't being used, it's probably the reason they aren't being used because they don't work. Somebody else has tried them. Discredit their testimony of the young preachers. Encourage them to be so busy they can't reach out and prepare themselves for the ministry and reach out for lost souls and witness. God's people. He gives them excuses for not obeying Christ and submitting to scriptural baptism. He makes them think that they're unable to give to the Lord's work. And by the way, that giving is giving of self. And after you give yourself, then you'll give that which you think is yours when it's always already the Lord's and he's given it to you for a little time. Then he makes them think they cannot witness. What good does it do? Just give up. Not going to change. They're not going to listen. You and I are in the same situation. Some of you that may have used that excuse, that's how you were when I first got in contact with you, or when this church first got in contact with you. Make them doubt their salvation. How do we deal with the devil? We make no deals with him. The reason many have no opposition from the devil is because they meet his terms. What do? We resist the devil. James 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? The way Jesus did. They were to give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4 and 27. Neither give place to the devil. Give no place to him in your thoughts. Give none to him in your hobbies. Give none to him in your home life. Recover from his snare, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that kind of indicates that he's more powerful than we are. That he can overdo us and catch us and we don't realize it till it's too late. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 and verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He can destroy the works of the devil in the unsaved only when that person hears the word of God. John 5 verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, and is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Then hear his word. Believe in Christ. Acts 16, verse 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe with your heart. Trust in what he has done. Accept wholeheartedly what he has done, that he has paid the full price, full penalty, and can set you free. Look at Luke 13, verse 3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you must repent of your sins. He says, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now that's what's going to happen to the devil one day. And those who refuse to repent by faith, trust Christ as their Savior, are going to wind up perishing with him. Good example, Luke 23, beginning with verse 39 through verse 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we see all these things we just went through in this example. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. He confessed his sin. Confessed being a sinner, being guilty, turned from it. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He acknowledged his sin wholeheartedly, took accountability for it, and turned from and turned to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Individual needs to hear the word of God, needs to believe in Jesus Christ, needs to repent of their sin and surrender to the Lord or to God through Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation of Jesus to all to come to him and to receive the blessings that he has for them, that he earned by suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross of Calvary, that he earned in going through all of the suffering and torment that he went through while he was here on this earth. And he went through it as a man. And then on that cross, as God, he also then went through the same. And bless your heart, he suffered body, soul, and spirit. Let's stand. What shall you sing, brother? If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God, convict your heart, come to Jesus, whatever the need is. Don't let Satan have the victory. Amen.